Most of us want to digitize our office, and that means getting rid of paper charts. Well, most of us probably already did that 10 or 20 years ago, but now we're moving on to the next phase. I'm talking having online forms that integrate with your EHR, having an online scheduler, not just an appointment request, but an actual live real-time scheduler, ability to text patients, ability to collect outstanding balances via text message, and also dealing with, you know, kind of lousy legislation like the new contact lens FTC ruling. We are talking to the gentleman with Opti Express. They are new to the market, and frankly, they're just crushing it with more customized features for patient communication.
Welcome to iTrepreneur, the podcast for Wizards of Eyes. I'm Dr. Raymond Brill with my co-host,
Harry Brill, and we're here to bring you stories about Wizards of Eyes. Yes, what is a wizard, Dr. Brill?
Well, these are folks that you may have heard about, may not have heard about. These are people who are actually very successful in doing what they do in all aspects of eye care.
We're not talking to self-proclaimed industry geniuses, experts, masters, or gurus, because we're talking to Wizards of Eyes that make it happen each and every day.
They are out there working every day in the labs, on the road, in the practices, in surgery suites, making lenses, making frames.
Yes, we want to hear these back-of-the-house stories about innovation, entrepreneurship, and make you feel excited to do what you do.
We want you to be energized about the whole eye care field. And this is not your big optical program. This is done out of the passion of our hearts.
Please go ahead and subscribe to iTrepreneur, the podcast for Wizards of Eyes on iTunes, Stitcher, Podbean, or your favorite app. Also, visit iTrepreneur.com where you'll find our latest blogs and special video content. That's www.eytrepreneur.com.
I want to welcome to the podcast Cornelius Miller and Bishop Morley of Opti Express. Welcome, gentlemen.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, Perry. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Hope you're doing good.
Good, good. So these guys here really have a much different approach to integrating with optometry. There's a lot of software that already exists that integrates with EHRs to text patients and reminders, appointment schedulers, but Opti Express, you guys are just way ahead. Cornelius, what's your background and how'd you get so dang smart?
Man, this is just crazy. Thank you for the introduction. Perry, this came about through an idea in around 2016. I've been kind of fluffing around in the industry on the tech side for about the last 14 years. And through playing with technology, we originated with the virtual try-on. We were one of the first companies in the space. And I can honestly tell you that 2016, 2017, it was something that we were really excited about. Come 2019, fast forward, the company really goes into a whole new position because something happens called COVID-19. Wow. Let me just explain that. That kind of took us into a whole new realm. We started to look into simplifying and making the practices operate contactlessly without having to touch items, not having to touch paperwork, not having to process your credit card transactions on a normal terminal. We've really simplified the whole process of having it all on one platform.
Great, great. Well, how did you get into tech, Cornelius? You know, were you like 14 or something?
I got into tech. It was kind of a coincidence. I was working with a gentleman, and at the time, he was telling me that, you know, it was during the dot-com boom era. And he was like, oh, man, you got to get into this. You got to get into this. And, you know, I was really hesitant. See, what happened was is I saw the type of money he was making in the tech industry, and it just opened my eyes to a whole new ball game. So that being said, I started my first tech company in 2013. I sold that by 2015, and I've just been growing ever since.
Fantastic. Cool, cool. Yeah, once you get into tech, it's an addiction. Bishop, you are lead developer at Opti Express. You have a degree, I think, in machine learning. Is that right?
Yeah, certification in machine learning along with a master's degree in computer science.
Awesome. Well, I know you had a early introduction into starting a company, even with like Craigslist and getting in trouble. Give us your short professional background here.
Yeah, being honest, I had my very first interaction, obviously, with tech by going to high school. I attended one of the first public high schools in Arizona that had laptops. And obviously, that was a quick way to get me in trouble, but also learn a great new skill. I ended up finding a way around a lot of the teaching curriculum, obviously, got in trouble for that. And while I was actually on suspension for a week due to that behavior, I created a little tiny website to offer automated Craigslist postings to people. By the end of my suspension, I had a business that was bringing in something like $20,000 a month in revenue. Yeah, it only kind of expanded from there. And eventually a lot of that was lost just because, Craigslist kind of frowns upon those things. And of course, the cease and desist letters, et cetera, came in the mail.
Your parents must have been proud of you. You were an entrepreneur at such a young age. Getting suspended.
Yeah, at the same time, it makes it hard to discipline him. It's kind of like, you can't tell him he's doing everything wrong.
Right. Well, cool. So the focus of today's conversation is really around what you guys do differently in the space. You have competitors out there who have standard tools for being contactless. Where do you guys differentiate from your competitors? Let's start there.
I think what really makes us stand out is the custom experience that we deliver. A lot of the companies in the space that are larger, they've been around a long time, customizing isn't something that they're going to offer you. It's going to be something that's going to be very systematic. Everybody's going to have the same tool, and that's pretty much how it works. With Opti's exquisite because we offer a customizing platform that really goes off of what you need. If you're looking to advance your office in the aspect with your online forms, it's all digitized. It now can be sent through a text message, and there is no aspect of having to touch any paperwork. Instead of having to re-enter the information, it automatically populates and shows up on or in the EHR. So essentially, I think that's something that's very ahead of time right now and where we really do need to be pushing.
Right. And you mentioned customization. When we think of online forms, we think of whatever I have there is what I got. But I think you guys actually allow people to add as many custom fields as they want. So let's say you could have a question like, do you experience dry eye in the morning? Or do you have sports glasses? Could we add those to the online form so we could have that information ahead of time?
That's a great question. I'm going to let Bishop answer that one because I feel like as the lead developer, Bishop's really been behind the ideal of working directly with the OD or more specifically the office manager to make sure everything is a custom experience. So go ahead and speak on that.
Yeah, so obviously we can customize the forms however are wanted. Doing things like adding in, do you have dry eye in the morning, super common. We can even take it a step farther. I have certain clinics that, we want to ask them before their appointment, what pharmacy do you prefer? So that way we know where to send it without having to ask you while you're in the clinic due to COVID. And things like that sometimes don't even have a field inside of the EHRs that they might be with. And we can actually do things to, make sure that it gets put inside of a notes field or things like that. So we try to make it, as I've always described it, as if you are getting a free receptionist in the cloud.
Oh, that's a good metaphor here. I noticed I was browsing one of your customers' websites, and you actually allow the feature for patients to upload pictures of the front and back of their insurance cards. I think that's an excellent feature because that allows the front desk or the billing person to search for eligibility before the patient comes in. It's just frankly a good practice to have pictures of insurance cards on file just in case, someone mistypes it and you need to refer back. That's a cool feature.
No, yeah. Being honest, that's just one part of that feature. Technically, after the user snaps a photo of it, we've built a little bit of a machine learning OCR program to actually detect what insurance card type that is and auto-populate all that information, trying to help reduce the staff from having to copy it into there from that photo.
Okay, so there's some technology that you have will basically read the text, is that right? And then dump it into the right field?
Exactly. And it'll even try to identify exactly what insurance company it's with, just because we all know that, yes, it might be a Blue Cross Blue Shield card, but a lot of times we'll discover it's really Blue Cross and Blue Shield of, you know, New Mexico or Southern Tennessee.
Okay. Yeah. Any automation is super cool there. Now, when people take a picture of their card, where does it go? Like my dad's practice, we're on Crystal PM, and Crystal actually has a insurance card section, but I know some EHRs don't. So where do those files go?
So in the case that they don't have an area for the attachment, we can upload it usually as an e-document, just the same that they would upload the HIPAA releases that a patient signed or anything along those lines. But also there's always the fallback of, as I said, inside the notes field, it'll just push the image or a link to the image. So that way anybody can view it inside the clinic that needs it.
We're going to go through all the other features fairly quickly here. Then I want to get into like actually implementation, because I know people kind of get scared of implementing a new software. They think it's like moving houses. You got to pack up all the boxes, but it's far from that, right? Your next feature is online schedulers. Why is yours so great? You got a lot of competition out there.
Yeah. So the biggest thing that sets us aside as far as online scheduling is it seems like a lot of people in the industry right now just ask the patient what time would work best for them. And it just shoots that over to an email to the front desk staff. The software doesn't actually know if that appointment slot's open, how long this type of appointment might take, and if that can be remedied, et cetera. And that's the difference with what OptiExpress does is we actually dynamically look at your schedule and take a rubric based on what your criteria are for certain types of appointments and can actually whittle it down where it'll only display available appointments to patients.
Okay, give me an example. You just mentioned a rubric. Do you mean like, let's say someone does dry eye appointments for 45 minutes only on Tuesday?
Yep.
Can we get that granular?
Yep, you can get basically as granular as you want. A lot of the scenarios are things like that. You know, hey, if they're over 65 and they want a comprehensive exam, it might be 45 minutes rather than 30, things along those lines.
Okay. All right. That makes sense. And how do you actually know what appointments we have available?
So that's back to kind of the beauty of OptiExpress. Because it's dynamically interacting with your electronic health record software, it can actually just see your appointment book and see what appointment slots are available and only display those to patients.
Okay. I got you.
So there will be none of those days where you just come in Monday and all of a sudden all these appointments are booked, right?
That would be nice. That would be nice. All right. So let's say now walk us through that process. So I'm assuming people hop on JonesEyeCenter.com. They see a button that says schedule appointment. Walk us through that process of what that patient would experience.
So from that point, they would just click schedule an appointment. It would maybe ask them a few questions such as what type of appointment do you believe you're coming in for? You know, do you just need a routine checkup? Are you having dry eye issues? Is this related to contact lenses, et cetera? And all those questions can be changed however the clinic would see fit. Then it will say, hey, this person, you know, click comprehensive exam, for example. It'll say that needs a 30-minute window and then basically just display the schedule for the next week to the patient with any 30-minute available slots. From there, they can click, hey, I see one for next Monday at 7 a.m. or whatever it might be. Can I get that? And then it would just basically ask them the same questions that they would be used to getting asked over the phone of what's your first and last name, what's your contact information, et cetera.
Okay. Now, I think one of the big benefits of an online scheduler is it reduces the phone calls to your office. I mean, if you're getting 30 phone calls a day to your office just to book an appointment, each of those calls is at least 4 or 5 minutes. I mean, you're going to save an hour or 2 day just on the phone. So it's pretty much that digital receptionist.
Yep.
Have you guys found from your data what time people are generally booking online? Is it at night, you know, drinking a beer or during lunch break?
It really does seem to be the oddest correlation, but I would say that there is definitely it's not more prevalently at night, but it's definitely a 50-50 split between in business hours and after midnight to 5 a.m, which has always made me wonder.
Yeah. Cornelius, let's get into the money part of collecting outstanding balances. You know, I worked in a practice for 10 years. I know one of the hardest things to do is collect money, and we make it too cumbersome. We send out bills in the mail, or we just don't send out bills. So how have you guys really simplified the collections part in the practice?
I like that area just because essentially with today's marketplace, we are cell phone users to the core. So ideally, if you were to start up with the app and utilize it, you can actually save your card on file. So for instance, when you are sent a text message to bill the patient, ideally it clicks right into the terminal and it allows them to be billed. If they were outstanding and had not paid, well, guess what? You already have access to the account, so it makes it a lot easier for you to collect those balances that are overdue. And I think that's pretty rare in most systems at this point.
Okay, that's cool. So let me throw a scenario at you. Let's say I'm an optician. I'm sitting down with the patient. They just bought $800 of glasses, maybe a computer pair and a sunglass. Could I just send them a text message right then and there and let them type in their own card?
Yes, you actually could.
Okay. I feel like, you know, actually when I traveled to Europe, man, I think it's been 2 years already, 3 years maybe. It was interesting because they don't let you hand your card to the cashier. They make you swipe your own card. I think that's some type of compliance issue, which I think is smart. The moment you give your card to someone, it could be stolen. So I like the idea of people typing their own information in.
I think the biggest key there is really kind of knowing that it's a safety mechanism. Your cell phone is like your safeguard, you know? So you know you store things there. So when you think about that, I think it makes it a lot easier to handle transactions, and you feel a lot more comfortable too when you know you're not having to touch a device. You're not having to pull your card out, give it to this person, give it to that person. It's all digital, you know?
Right. And a lot of people don't even carry cards around anymore. I mean, how many people are like, oh, I forgot my card. And with this, you know, you have it, everybody has their card stored in their phone, whether it's Google or Apple or Samsung Pay or something.
That's just an excuse anyways. Let's be honest.
Yeah, right.
Who forgets their card?
Yeah.
Yeah. Checks in the mail, I promise.
All right. So how do we get notified when we get a payment?
We utilize a push notification system. I think Bishop was about to add in a little section there. Go ahead, Bishop.
Yeah, so basically what happens is right after they get a payment, it will enter usually into their EHR once again. It will get processed through whatever payment gateway the clinic's already using. So we can already implement our system with many of the top credit card providers there.
Okay, so what you're saying is if I'm using TSYS or some other company, we can just give you our account information and you'll link it up. So I don't have to open a new merchant processing account.
No, we're not in the merchant business. Yeah, we're not trying to piggyback off of all of that.
Okay.
Basically, all we're trying to do is make sure that it's as seamless as possible for you to get that credit card information into your existing TSYS account or whatever.
Good. You guys aren't trying to take 0.0001 of every transaction. I appreciate that.
Now, hold on. You're giving me an idea there.
So you said the payments can be actually funneled into the EHR, because that's one of the things I always complain about. It's like, it's great when people pay online, but I still have to run a report, type it in. You know, it's still one more step.
No, and that's one thing that we see all the time is a lot of these clinics also, when we first do the rollout with them, they'll have a little bit of an issue because there's so many outstanding payments on their books that have been already paid, but it's never been actually quantified inside of the EHR to say, hey, this has been zeroed out.
I can't tell you how many times I've billed a patient and they called super upset. They're like, I've already paid the $500 for my glasses. And then I have to go back in to the merchant processing portal. And what do you see? They paid it, just the staff member did not type it in.
Yep. No, that's a super common problem. And as I said, there's basically two sets of books, and that's the problem. There's the merchant account, which is just dealing with all the money coming in. And then your EHR that's showing you all the services you provided and how much to charge. It's rare for somebody to say, hey, I want to spend the time and double enter these, even as diligent as they might be, to make sure that they both always zero out. And that's one thing that we definitely help with is obviously we're going to hit the merchant account with the payment and then update the EHR. It's all software.
All right. While we're on the money part, I hate bookkeeping. Just want to let you guys know that it's not a strong suit of mine. That's why I outsource that, because I need help. Do you guys have some way to integrate EHRs with QuickBooks or Xero or whatever system people are using? Because we really do need to be uploading our books to those systems so we can have good reporting?
So that's actually something that I started working on a while ago. I've gotten a developer kind of playing around with it. We can definitely get it where it integrates. It extracts all the information from most of your most common merchant accounts, along with all the EHRs that we integrate with, and we'll go into QuickBooks. The problem arises whenever we get basically a new customer that wants to take everything from their QuickBooks and try to use that to update their EHR. That's still a little bit of an issue. It's not as easy to import going that direction with the data, but it's definitely something that we've been working on.
Right. I think I'm more focused on like, hey, you know, we made export the daily payments from, you know, your EHR to QuickBooks. That way we can just look at QuickBooks and see all the nice pie charts and bar graphs and stuff, see how we're doing.
Yeah. No, that's definitely something that we can already assist with. It's a pretty easy little function that we can build in.
Okay, right on. I want to move back to online forms before I forget. So one thing that patients complain about is previous patients, they hate filling out paperwork after they've already been there. How do you guys handle that issue of filling out things twice?
No, so that's one of the beauties, once again, is since we're completely synchronized with your EHR account, we can actually already see what the patient has filled out and what they filled out on previous appointments. So basically, all of the paperwork that would be displayed in the OptiExpress system for the patient to fill out would already have all those fields entered that they might have had filled out on their previous appointment. This comes in handy a ton when it comes to like demographics information. Obviously, people do move addresses, but it's pretty rare. So we notice that a lot of people usually don't end up changing that when they come in to fill out their records. And this lets that whole process be a little bit quicker.
Okay, cool, cool. So Cornelius, you've been in the tech industry a number of years. How important is it that we have forms and schedulers, mobile friendly, tablet friendly? Do you guys adhere to all that stuff?
We do. And, you know, I think it's probably one of the most important factors in our time right now, because at the end of the day, everybody is converting to a digital platform and a streamlined way to really give their users their own personal experience. So, for instance, you're seeing QR codes used for menus now, contactless environment. Now we digitize the forms, we get those uploaded, it puts it into a process to where now you receive the onboarding and a text message. Guess what? No more paperwork has to be passed around. So it couldn't be more important at this point to really get ahead of time so you can provide a safe environment.
Quick advertisement here. This one is meant for optometry practices and ophthalmology to decrease the burden of looking up vision and medical insurance plans. There's software called ABB Verify that will actually automate this for you. It integrates with your patient scheduler within your electronic health records. It pulls the patient's member information and uses a national database to find it and truncate that back into your EHR, so you're not searching like 50 different websites. Additionally, it increases the utilization rate of frame lens, contact lens benefits by notifying patients who have not used them and are expiring soon. It sends those patients text messages, emails, and it says, hey, Ms. Jones, your frame and lens are expiring soon on June 2nd. Make sure to go back to your optometrist to use those before they expire. So it's a great way to increase revenue. Yeah, internal marketing, using your own database to market to is really key. Please go to the show notes. If you want to make insurance much easier, click that link. We're having a webinar on it on February 16th at 8:30. See you there. Show notes, please.
What about compliance? I mean, you guys are collecting a lot of HIPAA information. You know, where are you storing this information? Bishop, are you storing this in your like basement server or what?
Of course. The one with the rusted padlock. No, of course, we implemented AWS's server system with, we host all of our servers with AWS.
Okay, Amazon Web Services,
and they actually have
right?
a package. Yeah, and they have a package that's also a little bit more curtailed to us, making sure that everything's HIPAA compliant. And, you know, let's put it this way, there's an abundance of security on their side that goes above even my knowledge.
Right, yeah. I see Bezos stepped down, so I think he has enough trillions of dollars. He can go relax now.
Yeah, we'll see what he really does.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so Cornelius, talk to me about, nobody likes switching any type of software or programs in the practice, because generally you need staff buy-in, because staff are really the one utilizing this to the fullest extent. You know, doctors probably don't play with the software as much. So how do you guys make implementation super easy?
I think how we make implementation super easy is, one, we have a staff that's truly dedicated to the process. And I think that's something that we don't really see as much of anymore. So we have a direct point of contact right away with Bishop, who is making contact with the in-house representative that will be giving him access to certain platforms to start building. Then we have a customer service rep that follows up with the doctor throughout the week to make sure everything is being done accordingly. Then we follow up again throughout beta testing. So, I mean, it's a constant process of really kind of making sure everything transitions well. And we even provide a source of training and a reliable source of communication for our doctors to really make sure that they're moving forward. And this isn't going to be a hang up for them. We want this to be an easy transition and to be effective. You know, the whole idea behind what we're doing is to simplify their life.
Right. Okay, that makes sense. Now, one thing that just stood out for me is you guys go through testing phases. So, you know, you're not making a promise that, hey, I'm going to wave the wand and everything's going to work. You actually go through like a demo mock-up, you do revisions, you allow for feedback. So you're really listening.
Oh, yeah. No, that's definitely an extensive part of what we do. Just because every clinic's going to be a little bit different. You know, I see little, as I call it, quirks in doctors consistently of, hey, this piece of information, we'd like this put over here. And it might be that, yes, it can go over there, but a lot of other clinics put it over here. Really generalized example of that we see consistently is what type of information in OfficeMate, for example, is stored in the exam record versus the demographics record. There's heavy overlap in the questions that it asks, but OfficeMate doesn't even synchronize to itself there in a lot of cases. So a lot of them want to see it inside of the exam because that's what they're going to have open while the patient's with them.
I see. Okay. Now let's talk about your EHR capabilities of integration. You integrate with all of them. And I know people are going to question you about that, thinking, well, there's no way you could pair with all of them. So let's address that point.
No. Yeah, definitely. So that's actually kind of what makes OptiExpress a little bit different. That's kind of our secret sauce at this point, I guess you would say. What we've done is taken what you had touched on at the beginning of the call is my certification in machine learning. Basically, what we've done is realized pretty quickly that you can't integrate with all these EHRs because there's so much red tape anytime you need to reach out and work with any of them. So what we've done instead is gone about it, as I used as my example earlier, as giving you a receptionist in the cloud. We basically have just trained machine learning models so that way it can interact with each EHR in whatever manner is necessary.
Okay. All right. Awesome. And sometimes, like, I know you've worked with most of the EHRs by now, but if someone has a more obscure one, you can make it happen, right? It just takes a little programming.
Oh, of course. Yeah, no, it's definitely nothing that we're afraid of. You know, it's always something that's nice as a new challenge for the development team.
Great. I know you're working mostly with optometry now, but ophthalmology, can you pair with them too?
Of course. I mean, there's obviously a heavy software overlap and a form overlap and everything. It's definitely something that we've looked into expanding more into is many different fields, obviously, in the medical world.
Okay, cool. Let's talk patient communication. Patients want to text us for literally everything. Do we have the ability to have two-way texting conversations with patients?
Yeah, we do. And that's a feature that we have really kind of honed in on to try to advance at this point. We want to make it the strongest feature because we understand the communication at this point. It's really the major milestone. And with people using cell phone devices at an all-time high like they are, you want to be able to continue to keep that open line of dialogue as they normally would through a text message.
Right. I mean, I see patients texting about that we've really lost manners as humans. You know, we'll text 10 minutes before an exam and say, cancel. It's not how you really want to hear it, but it's better than the patient just no-showing, even if it's just 10 minutes before. You know, sometimes, especially during COVID now, it's patients want to text you like, hey, is it safe to come pick up my glasses? Can I set up some patients literally want to set up appointment via text. That's just how they communicate. Maybe they're super introverted.
That's great. That's great. And I'm glad you touch on that. Bishop, what do you say about that? I mean, would you say that we make it convenient for them to have that two-way communication?
Yeah, we always try to obviously make sure that our system integrates as seamless as possible. Just like back to the EHRs, we always try to also make sure that OptiExpress doesn't clutter you with new dashboards that you have to check in with or leave open on a screen or anything like that. But obviously, the two-way texting is one of the few features that you are going to have to be actively looking at or having someone monitor. But basically, we've tried to make that system as seamless as possible and as convenient to use as possible. So right when you receive a text message or your clinic receives a text message, it will pull up the record of that patient with their demographic information if they're already inside the EHR with that phone number.
Oh, I got it. Okay, that's cool. So it just saves a few clicks.
Exactly.
Okay, right on. All right, let's keep talking about text messages. This has to do with that lousy legislation that was passed, I think late last year, about having to hand out the contact lens prescription once it's finalized. I think this might be overturned here in the near future if these politicians can get their head out of their, you know what? How are you guys dealing with that and helping doctors reduce the administrative burden?
So basically what we did is we built out a new function inside of our system to comply with the new FTC rules. Where basically right after we see a prescription for contact lenses inside of your electronic health record software, we automatically send the patient a text message within 24 hours that just says, hey, if you ever need your prescription, you can click here to find it. If they click on that link, it basically just asks them for a few simple questions to verify their identity, obviously for HIPAA reasons, et cetera. And then they can, from there, immediately just click on their prescription, pull it up on their phone. They can choose to print it. They can have it emailed somewhere, faxed somewhere, anything along those lines.
Okay, great. Yeah, I mean, most doctors now are literally printing it, having someone sign something, upload, scan that into the EHR, and it's like a whole dance. It just sounds like a colossal waste of time. So your system sounds to relieve that.
Well, yeah, and it puts it all under one platform, which makes it that much easier. You know, you're not having to jump through a bunch of different windows and go to a different program every time you need to do something.
Right, and that's kind of what I'm noticing with OptiExpress. It's like you guys took six programs and bundled it into one.
Yep.
Because I know people have, oh, I get this online scheduler from this company, forms from this one. They use them for text messages. And by the end of the month, you're like, crap, I'm paying $600 a month for software.
Exactly.
All right. So you guys have another tier of business that I think we should hit on. So obviously you guys crush it in the patient communication sector, but you also handle website and Google review and Yelp review population.
Yeah, those are other services that we do offer. And I feel like on the section of reviews, this is critical because when you think about what's the first thing a person does when they go to look up a place that they're going to go, whether it's, I need to go get my eyes checked or I need to go to a good restaurant. They look for an online presence. They look for some type of review. They look for a rating. So I think it's a critical feature that we do offer because that keeping you in the future and making sure that your reputation is huge, I think plays a major role in bringing new business to you as well.
Yeah, I'm 100% there. You have to have, you know, I look at some of the best doctors I know in the country and they have 10 reviews. That is not going to play out well in the future. It might be working now, but eventually they will not do so hot. How are you guys actually encouraging people to make reviews? Because, I mean, let's be honest, if you physically ask a person in person to write a review, maybe one in 20 will do it. It's not that they don't know how. They're just busy and it doesn't play a big part in their life. You know, they look at as an eye doctor as just a chore. It's I have to go do it. How do you kind of motivate people to actually drop that review?
So basically what our system will do is once again, it obviously has full access at looking at your schedule. So 24 hours after their appointment, it will actually just send them a little tiny text message saying, hey, would you please give us a review by clicking this link? After the patient clicks that link, it will simply ask them for a quick little review. And then depending on how many stars they give you inside of that review, it will choose whether or not it asks you to also post that review on Google reviews, GoodMD, things like that. Obviously, if the review is under 3 stars, for example, it will just send that message directly to you and your staff so you guys can know how to better handle it.
I see. Okay. Yeah, that's super helpful. It's a numbers game. You just got to keep pushing and eventually you'll get your numbers up. I'm going to go back to online forms because this is how my brain works, guys. I just bounce off the wall half the day. All right. So one of the things I recognize with online forms is many types of visits have different information we need. So if you're having a dry eye visit, you want that patient, let's say it's a woman. We don't want her to wait. No makeup, no moisturizers around the eye because that stuff will affect the imaging and the diagnosis results. This could be the same thing. Let's say we're fitting a rigid gas perm lens. We don't want a person to wear soft lenses that day or something. Can we adjust the online forms to appointment style or have little hidden messages in there? Not hidden, but hey, pointer for today.
Yeah, no, definitely. We can take it as far as building in tiny little interactions inside of the form, as you mentioned, of if they do select, you know, gender female, to then give a little tiny message right after that, just saying, hey, by the way, since you had clicked this appointment type or this form for this appointment type, it might be a good idea not to wear any makeup. Things like that are easy to integrate with our system. We try to make it where it's as customizable as possible. In fact, as I said, kind of like having a receptionist in the cloud, they were going to get handed different forms when they entered the office. There's no reason they shouldn't get different forms on their phone before the appointment.
Okay, cool. Now let's talk about marketing customization. I don't know if you guys do this, but we'll find out. In the online forms, when people are filling them out, can I drop little marketing messages in there? Like, hey, we offer payment plans. Here's a link to get pre-approved. Or, hey, we have this new blue light lens. Just letting you know, can we drop stuff like that in the forms?
Of course. That's kind of back to just the unique customization. Ironically, I haven't seen anyone do that with our system yet. Definitely something we can implement for somebody if they want it. Typically, the only thing that I ever notice that way is on the insurance page. I get a lot of different criteria from doctors of, you know, hey, we need to make sure to inform them that refraction services aren't included with these types of insurances, and this is how much it'll cost extra, et cetera. So that's where I see it the most often, but we can interact with those anywhere. You know, we can add those anywhere you want.
Okay. Yeah. You know, in optometry, we focus way too much on external marketing, pulling in new patients, but we have the patients. They're there on their mobile device looking at our profiles. We might as well be saying, hey, we have 90-day payment plans. We have new sunglasses. Let's, you know, put that information right in front of them.
And that's what's really critical is that's how marketing works, you know, putting it in front of you, making sure that you're seeing this, making sure it's visible. And that's what we're trying to do.
Yeah. It takes customization. It's stock software is not the future. It's kind of a mass customization, which I might call it.
Yeah, that's what I would put it as, because I've noticed that a lot lately. Is when we start going around too many features, then they just start getting kind of discombobulated.
Going to do a quick ad, self-promotion for Eyetrepreneur Media. If you have not already, please join our Facebook group. The link is in the show notes. It's a really advanced group of people. I would say it's like the top 10% of eye care, like very business-oriented people that don't mind sharing the secrets, giving you real business ideas, motivating you, inspiring you. So please go to the show notes, join our Facebook group. And if you're already in the group, please share the group with a friend right now. All right, gentlemen, you got a whole laundry basket of features. It's like 10 miles long. So eventually, I feel like if I was a doctor or an office manager and I need to see this, I feel like I need a presentation. Screen share so I actually can see it. How do I get a demo of this and see what this is all about? Make sure you guys aren't lying to me.
That's great. The demos are scheduled through a feature that we offer on Calendly. And through the demo, what we really try to do is give you an experience to really see how our software works, what features are going to be a benefit to you, and really spend the individual time that you need kind of getting your questions out. I feel like that's critical for you making a valid decision. And we want to be as upfront as possible to give you that custom experience, because there's going to be things that you may want in there that it can be discussed over a phone call.
Okay, so I'll put a link in the show notes here to your calendar where they can just pick the time they want, book a meeting. And yeah, you can see it live. They'll screen share everything with you, show you what a mobile-friendly scheduler looks like, or forms, lots of stuff there. What about payment terms? Do you guys, you know, lock everybody into a 3-year contract? How friendly are you?
That's a great question. We don't do a lock-in contract. We don't offer contracts. Everybody else in the industry does. We like to know that we can earn your business monthly by providing you an excellent service. And we don't want to tie you down anything. It just doesn't make sense. There's too much of that in the industry now.
Right. Yeah. I'm a big proponent of month to month or quarterly, whatever it is. Just so, like you said, we got to earn the business by providing good customer service.
Most definitely. And I think that's huge. That goes a long way.
Bishop, you want to wrap it up here? What's the future? And, you know, why should we sign up for Opti or at least get a demo and think about whether you are missing these features or using another company? Why should someone consider, you know, the switch?
Hey, it's pretty simple, as I said. I mean, it tries to make everything as seamless as possible. And we've definitely always tried to make our system where it conforms to what you are looking for as much as possible. Sometimes we get calls from different clinics where, yeah, their problem set is completely different than other ones that I talk with. But we always just try to make sure that we can customize it and make sure that they get a better experience moving forward for their industry.
Fantastic. Yeah, I encourage everybody on here, like, if you have a feature request, like, nothing is too out of the ballpark to ask. Like, if you can think it, these guys are probably more than willing to build it for you. This company is small and nimble, and that's what you want. So highly recommend them. Yeah, gentlemen. Well, thanks so much for being on the podcast. Thanks for working long hours and making this happen for the profession. It's much overdue.
Thank you for having us. We really appreciate it.
It was great.
Bishop, when you have kids, I really hope you don't all these bad habits of getting suspended and, you know, making money when you're 14.
It's a fun experience. It's been a wild ride.
Cornelius, you got small children. You're probably teaching them all these dirty tricks, right?
I'm just keeping them away from Bishop.
That's funny. Again, go to the link in the show notes, sign up for a calendar appointment with Cornelius and Bishop. They'll walk you through the program. As you can tell, they're pretty relaxed guys here. And they're in Phoenix, Arizona. Is that your headquarters?
Yes, it is.
All right. Take care, guys.
Thank you, Perry. Take care.
This brings us to the end of another episode of Itrepreneur, the podcast for Wizards of Eyes. Go ahead and click over to our website, itrepreneur.com, or head over to Facebook to join our special Facebook group, Itrepreneur. See you there.